I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. We look for cloudy skies this morning, becoming sunny this afternoon, a high around 33. And in the news, the IKM Manning School Board has unanimously approved a motion for district reconfiguration for the 2014-2015 school year. In a regular board meeting that was held Thursday, the board heard from concerned citizens, staff, and administrators before making the motion to consolidate the district. Manila Mayor Pat Wolstewald suggested the board not take action on the item and mentioned that the city of Manila would pay for legal action against the school district. Current teacher and coach for the IKM Manning School District, Kathy Lage, said the district needs to do something.
As a teacher, we're sitting there thinking, what are we going to do? A decision needs to be made. I've gone to every board meeting for years. Scott knows, when I was just here in Manning, when we got together, and I sit there and I listen to you guys, and I know it's a hard decision, and I know something has to happen. Okay, if you don't vote tonight, I think it's a travesty. Okay, it needs to happen tonight, and I know people aren't going to be happy. That's just the way it is. But are you here for the kids? Are you here for an education? That's what's important.
Superintendent Dr. Tom Ward also spoke before the crowd and said the situation has been a burden on him as well as the board.
And I know this is a tough decision for my board members, and it really has weighed heavy on me. I came into this blind, not knowing the full story of what we had to do. You know, I had to make the recommendations of eliminating 16 and a half positions. That hasn't been joy on my part. I don't want to lose kids to open enrollment because I know the quality of education that we provide here. And our decision is based upon what is best for kids. And for 40 years, I've done what's best for kids. And this is hard. And I know that it's weighing on you all, but we've got to make a decision. It's weighing on me.
And it was then time for Board Chairman Dave Heller to make a motion to reconfigure the district for the fall of 2014.
We're going to have preschool in Manning, and we're going to have preschool in Irwin. We're going to have all of kindergarten, first, second, and third in Irwin. We're going to have 4th through 12th grade in Manning. We're going to keep the Manila gym open for junior high basketball, junior high volleyball, and play the junior high basketball games there and their practices there. Keep central office in Manila, move it to the weight room area. Keep baseball in Manila, softball in Irwin. And I think I've covered it all, right?
I'll make that motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes.
And in other business, the board approved April 10th at 6:45 p.m. as the date and time for the 2014-2015 budget and early start waiver hearings for IKM Manning. Both hearings will be held in the Family and Consumer Science Room in Manila. Elsewhere in the news, it's time to spring forward again as the country makes the switch to daylight saving time. Like those in almost all other states, Nebraskans and Iowans will trade an hour of sleep beginning Sunday morning for an extra hour of sunlight in the evening. The government expanded daylight saving time in 2007 in an effort to save energy. It now begins on the second Sunday in March and continues until the first Sunday in November. The official change occurs at 2 a.m. Sunday local time, although most people set their clocks ahead 1 hour before going to bed Saturday night. Daylight saving time ends on November 2nd. This weekend, as mentioned, marks the beginning of daylight saving time, which means we lose an hour of sleep. Much of the nation will spring forward by setting their clocks ahead 1 hour, and Iowa Sleep Disorder Center founder Stephen Zorn says it's hard for some people to recover from the loss of sleep.
Well, if they're already sleep deprived, adding another hour of sleep certainly doesn't help, that can be an issue in coordination and reaction times. People often feel like they don't feel back to their normal self for about a week.
Dr. Zorn says going to bed 20 minutes earlier leading up to the time change can ease the transition. If that doesn't work, a short nap on Sunday afternoon can help. Zorn says that people in general don't get enough sleep, and this time change only makes it worse.
An Epworth sleepiness scale is a simple scale that a lot of sleep centers have, and it's measuring a person's subjective sensation of sleepiness. And about 20% of our population feels like they're sleepier than desired. Their Epworth sleepiness scale is running above 10.
Zorn says while some believe setting the alarm an hour later will help, sticking to a normal schedule is the best way to adjust to the time change. If you're confused by which direction your clock should go, remember the simple seasonal phrase, spring forward, fall back. If you think this was a brutal winter, there's data to back it up. Iowa officials say this was the ninth coldest in the state since record-keeping began more than 140 years ago. Harry Hilliker, a state climatologist with the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship, compiled data on the meteorological winter season that ran from December 1st through February 28th. He says the past winter was also the coldest in 35 years. Temperatures this winter season averaged 14.7 degrees. Hilliker says that's 7.2 degrees below normal. The data show temperatures varied from about 10 degrees below normal in northeast Iowa to 4 degrees below zero on normal in the southwest part of the state. Now, much of Iowa is still frozen for the most part, and some is snow-covered, but soon enough the spring will be here, and homeowners will leap into landscaping, and farmers will dig into the soil. Ben Booth at Iowa One Call says if you plan to do any digging, it's the law to call 811 at least 48 hours before doing so and have all potential obstacles underground marked off. Booth says they're holding special damage prevention seminars this month for contractors and excavators alike.
This program focuses on the farming community, specifically farmers and tiling excavators and land improvement contractors, people who will be doing the terracing and installation of drainage tile.
If a pipeline, communications line, or other vital service is ruptured by your negligence, you may be found financially liable for repairs and any repercussions. There have been several incidents in recent years in rural Iowa involving ag contractors digging where they shouldn't be digging.
We have a lot of problems throughout the year with these types of farming and agricultural operations impacting the pipelines, as well as fiber infrastructure, fiber optic cable.
Anyone who fails to call Iowa One Call and ruptures an underground line could face fines of $1,000 to $10,000 per day. There were pipeline explosions in Jackson and Plymouth counties in the past few years. Booth says that both incidents happened because the contractors failed to call Iowa One Call.
There can be some really serious ramifications of hitting an underground high-pressure natural gas pipeline or a hazardous liquids pipeline.
And the next seminar on damage prevention is planned for next week. It'll be held at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday at the Glenwood Senior Center. You can learn more at www.iowaonecall.com. Lawyers for the owners of a riverboat casino in Sioux City have scrutinized the wording of documents by officials who later denied renewing their gaming license. Lawyers for Penn National Gaming made the arguments Thursday during a two-day hearing that took place before the Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission and Administrative Law Judge Christy Skase. The Sioux City Journal reports Penn is challenging the commission's decision to reject a one-year license renewal for the Argosy Riverboat Casino. The commission said it had an issue with Argosy's dissolving partnership with a nonprofit group. Penn has also criticized the bidding process for a license that later went to another developer for a Hard Rock Casino in downtown Sioux City. The commission will make a formal ruling on the renewal issue in April. A Northwest Iowa hospital will pay a woman $75,000 to settle a disability discrimination lawsuit after she was denied a job because she has cerebral palsy. As part of the court settlement, Osceola Community Hospital in Sibley must adopt and distribute it to employees a policy prohibiting discrimination, must train employees, and report regularly to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission on its compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Court documents say the EEOC filed a lawsuit in 2012 claiming the hospital's daycare program, Bright Beginnings, discriminated against Jodine Cruz in 2007 by failing to hire her out of an unfounded fear that her disability meant she could not safely care for the children. The EEOC said Cruz volunteered at the daycare center and worked as a bus driver. And Iowa health officials say a breach of personal information relating to some child and dependent adult abuse cases in Polk County took place over 5 years. The State Department of Human Services announced on Friday that the information of more than 2,000 individuals was included in the breach, although there are no reports it's been misused. The agency says two workers used personal email accounts, storage accounts, and electronic devices for work purposes beginning in 2008. That is a violation of department policy. The information, including names, mailing addresses, social security numbers, and other data, letters have been mailed to the affected individuals to alert them, and they've been offered free credit monitoring. Officials say appropriate personnel action has been taken, but they did not elaborate on what that would be. And that is a check of the news here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.